Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Back here on a numbers game, I'm Scott Seidenberg in for Gil Alexander on Twitter at Scott's On Air, alongside Kelly Bidlin. This is a numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up about 15 minutes or so, Steve Fezzik, two-time Super Contest winner, will join us here in studio. We'll talk NFL Week 15 best bets and perhaps a little poker advice.
Yeah, because coming you got a big tournament.
Yeah, coming up later this morning, I will be representing VSiN playing in the World Poker Tour $5 million free roll at the Wynn. So hoping to have a good showing. Mm-hmm. I think if I can, listen, not going to look too far ahead or anything, but just got to play my game.
You've got to pull the classic Gil Alexander Friday, because he usually has a flight at about 9:45 and somehow somehow decides to book it then and then actually makes it. You're going to be the same way, right? 10 a.m.?
I'll get over there in plenty of time. And you know what? If I have to fold out the first couple of hands, I'm fine. It's old Phil Hellmuth strategy, which is show up late in the World Series just because you let the people just shove all in early on in the tournament. So I'm curious to see how it plays out, but I'll be hanging out at the Wynn hopefully all day here on Friday as I'm looking to advance in this tournament. And
we were talking about that yesterday, man. It's been me and you both poker players, but it's been a while since I have been active, and especially in tournament play. So I'd probably be those guys, the Hellmuth guys of either I'm getting up big early so I'm alive and around here for a while, or just get me out of here.
Yeah, and big shout out to our friends over at Poker Now who helped set this thing up. So catch me over there at the Wynn this weekend, hopefully for the full weekend, is if I'm looking to make the final table on Sunday.
There's a lot going on in town.
I'll keep you updated on Twitter about my status here, my stack size and whatnot, how I'm doing throughout the day in this poker tournament. But tomorrow's Army-Navy. It's the biggest game of the year, obviously, for both of these service academies. I got to be honest, at the end, when they play the alma maters, I get choked up.
It's awesome.
I get teary-eyed. I'm not afraid to admit that. It's one of the greatest traditions in all of, forget about college sports, in all of sports, is the singing of the alma maters. And, it's the one thing that I always say, and I put it out on Twitter all the time. It's like they are playing against each other here in this game. They are the fiercest of rivals. But as soon as they graduate, they're all on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
And that team is obviously the United States. So what's better than that? But statistically, in this game, we know that service academy unders, it's all the rage. Specifically in the Army-Navy game, 17 of the last 18 games have gone under the total. And the total has been bet down and down and down and down here. It's at 39. I expected it to drop down further. But the fact that it is still at 39, I think there's money on the over, Kelly.
Couple 38.5s out there too. Okay. Shop around.
Yep. Okay.
You are right though. This has come down.
Of course it has.
It's almost wild. I guess people just blindly betting under on this just regardless every year.
Absolutely. Yeah, blindly betting the under. But at what point does it get too low that you might want to jump in on the over? Now, my take on this game is I like Army laying the 6.5. Army's just been the better team, and they've been the better offense in this game specifically. And what people might not realize, if you haven't watched Army football play this year, is that the old, wishbone formation or the power eye with the triple option, that's not how Army plays anymore. Yeah, they still have the option game. They still run one of the highest rates in the entire country. But there is a different look to this offense. And if you're watching this game for the first time, seeing Army this year, you might be like, oh, that doesn't look the same. And, they're actually moving the ball down the field. And that's what they've done this year. What is it, 44 rushing touchdowns this year, which leads the nation. And I think that this team, when you look at Bryson Daly, the running back, he's phenomenal. And I think that Army, as much as I respect the fact that these games have been close, a lot of one-score games, 6.5-7 is still a one-score game, right? I think Army is the more talented team. I think they're the better team. I think they execute better on offense. I'm going with Army, and I'm laying the 6.5 points in this game. I want to bet the over, but I'm so scared to bet the over.
Yeah, it just feels, rightfully so.
It feels so wrong to bet it over. It
feels un-American.
It does. It just feels so wrong. And plus, I can see this game being a 20-7 finish and going under the total, but Army winning and covering the 6.5.
Yeah, it is really fascinating when those programs do make the switch from running that triple option, right? We saw it with Georgia Tech, right, like a few years ago. You make that switch of getting out of that system into more of a pro-style system. It's just wild because I don't think people understand how many, you know, it's everywhere on the offense, right? I mean, all of a sudden, you need receivers that can catch the ball when you didn't really need that before. You need linemen who actually can build and protect a pocket instead of pulling all the time to get outside and make blocks for the backs and quarterbacks down the field. It's just, it's very interesting to watch programs change over to those.
Army has a high explosive run rate, again, with Daly. And if you just look at just numbers between both of these teams combined, Army has actually scored first in 10 of the last 11 games played against Navy. So if you want to sprinkle a little bit about, you know, first team to score, Army could be the way to go, because once again, I do like the Army offense here going up against Navy. I like them to cover the 6.5, but if you can look at that first touchdown market, maybe it is Army as the first team to score. Again, 10 out of the last 11 games, Army has scored first. And yes, 17 of the last 18 games have gone under the total. And yeah, Kelly said there are 38.5s out there as this under just keeps being bet amongst a lot of people in the market. Curious to see what it closes at by the time we get the kickoff there in Landover, Maryland. But I'll lock in the official play. I'm laying the 6.5 with Army.
All right, there's a billion props as always at DraftKings, so I can't find first to score yet. But
I bet you there's a lot of rushing props.
Yeah, right, yeah. First to score and win for Army is minus 115.
Yeah, I'd rather just...
Army minus 180 first to score.
Okay. Army minus 180 first to score. Mm-hmm. Well, that's just factoring in everything that I just said. What's the money line for the game? What is it, 250? It's got to be a little short. Probably a little short.
Hold on.
That.
Let me go back to normal game lines. Minus 250.
Yeah, minus 250. I mean, I'd rather just lay the minus 250 on them winning the game than minus 180 on first to score.
Yes.
Yeah, just bet them to win. But I do like Army laying the 6.5. And again, I'm not going to play the total. I would lean towards the over, but I'm not going to go against all of the market moves. We'll get more on this game coming up in a few minutes when Steve Fezzik joins us, because I know that he is going to be all over the under in this game and probably at the best number in the market, because that's what he does better than anybody. So he'll give us his best bets. We'll talk about Army Navy, but let's get back into the NFL, Kelly. And I want to talk about the market here, because sometimes the market, I don't want to say influences us, but can tell us the play to make. And specifically, let's look at a bad team that is favored here on Sunday, the Carolina Panthers over the Dallas Cowboys. Now, Carolina's been playing great football. They've covered 5 straight games.
It's incredible.
Right? They've covered 5 straight games, but they're still a 3-win team.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be surprised, a 3-win team that's favored in week 15 of the NFL season, like how rare is that?
Yeah, well, yeah.
If you look at a bad team with 3 wins at this point of the season and it's favored, 10-1 straight up, 8-2-1 against the spread since 2012.
Yep. Okay, all right.
So that's the market kind of saying, hey, they're favored for a reason. And I think if we watch these teams play, we would agree that the Panthers should be favored in this game. I mentioned the 5 straight ATS covers. I mean, that's just incredible. But Bryce Young looks a lot better.
Yeah, different player.
Completely different player since the benching. And I think all the criticism that Dave Canales took early in the year, the Panthers head coach, I think we have to kind of back off of him a bit, because this offense has looked a lot better lately.
And look at that. I mean, you talked about just the 5 straight covers. We have the schedule up right now if you're watching at home. I mean, this is, okay, week 9, week 10, you get wins. And then it's a bye, and you're talking about the 3 last weeks or losses against the Chiefs, Bucks, and Eagles. Like, that is nothing to be ashamed
of. But it's not just about losing those games, Kelly. They could have won all 3 of those games.
Yes.
So they could have won against the Chiefs. They arguably maybe should have won against Tampa if Chuba Hubbard doesn't fumble in overtime. And then you can make the argument should have won against the Eagles, because Ladd McConkey should have caught, not Ladd McConkey, Xavier Leggett should have caught that football.
Yes, he should.
And it reminded me of like the Dez caught it situation, right? The Dez Bryant catch.
Gosh.
Although it was really clear on replay that Leggett did not catch the football. But he's wide open.
Doesn't remind me of that play at all, because that play cost me a lot of money.
But he's wide open. Yeah, Bryce Young makes a great throw. Leggett, he scores a touchdown there. And if he scores, the Panthers win that game. So you have three games that they lost. But let's put on our imaginary what if hats. Mm. Okay. I just made that up. It's a term. So let's put it on. Okay. Our imaginary what if hats. Put it on. Okay. All right.
But mine's got a wide brim.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wow. Looks cool. What's the weather like now? It's really nice. If I told you that the Panthers won two of the last three games that they lost, what's the line in this game?
Oh, man. Over three. Three. I'll go to four. I don't know if I can go higher than that.
This is the argument I'm making. The line is 2.5 to 3, now 3-point favorites. But if we think about Carolina, these games were essentially wins for them. They might not be wins in the schedule, on the record sheet, but the way that they played in the last three games, those are wins. Those are wins for those players. Those are wins for the coaching staff, because this season's not about the number in the W column. This season's about seeing what this team has moving forward. And they know, I think now, that Bryce Young is the quarterback of the future. And they know that they are a talented enough football team to compete with the Eagles, the Chiefs, and the Bucks in back-to-back weeks. I love the Panthers to win this game.
Wow. Okay, you just said a lot of things I'm a little surprised by. I think we got to play this. We got to play this both sides too, though, because if you don't get a screwed up special teams play from the Cowboys and they win that game against,
should have never came down to that though.
But we can play that same game, right? If they win that game last week, I don't know if this is a full three. We're probably sticking it 2.5.
But the Cowboys are still a disappointing team that loses one of their best pass rushers in DeMarrion Overshown. Mm-hmm. They're a team that their season is over. And for a team that had expectations, it's kind of like depressing to play. Meanwhile, Carolina, no expectations. It's all high hype, all excitement. The crowd is going to be excited for the first time. Let's get Steve Fezzik's thoughts coming up next here. He's Kelly Biblin. I'm Scott Seidenberg in for Gil. It's a numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This segment of A Numbers Game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. There's only one number one draft pick. There's only one champion at the end of the season. And there's only one nicotine pouch brand in America that outsells the rest, and that is Zyn. Zyn is a smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free nicotine pouch that can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. Find your Zyn at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Back here on A Numbers Game, I'm Scott Seidenberg in for Gil here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And joining me now in studio is 2-time Super Contest winner. He is Mr. Steve Fezzik, who you often see alongside Gil here on A Numbers Game in his normal Friday segment. Fez, I feel it's like the ultimate crossover, as one of our listeners tweeted at me. It's like when a TV show crosses over characters. This is like you and I now crossing over from all the podcasts that we do every single week to now being here in for Gil.
Throw mama from the train. Crisscross.
Well, I talked about Army-Navy. Before we get into the NFL, let's talk about the Army-Navy game real quick, because I know that you're on the under. You tweeted that out. You made no secrets about it. The whole world is on the under. 17 of the last 18 years, this game has gone under. I like Army laying the 6.5, but I actually think this game goes over. I'm just afraid to bet the over because I'm going against the market.
Yeah, and well, you're going against... If you look back just the last 10 years, they haven't gotten past 38 points, and they've had overtime games. And I think that at some point, I like fading trends that just happen by happenstance under a harvest moon when the Bengals are playing the Browns and the temperature's below 50 degrees. This happens. It's just random noise. But here's an example where obviously both these teams in chess terms run... They play an opening that's an inferior opening. It's a bad opening, the option. It's like if everyone played the option, no one would score because it's not the forward pass is optimal. But because it's so quirky, it works when you play against Memphis or teams like that. But when you have to play another team that's used to playing against this chess opening that sucks each and every day in practice, guess what? it doesn't work, and so no one can capture the other team's king, so no one can score. So the under makes sense.
Yeah, and like I said, 17 of the last 18 years have gone under. These have been one-score games. 8 of the last 10 years between these two teams have been decided by one score. Hey, 6.5 is still one score. So I can, you know, I can cover the 7.
Is 7.5 one score?
7.5. Oh, it could be, yeah.
It's one possession.
It's one possession. It's actually two scores if you count the two-point conversion as a score. But yes, the market has been dipping down here on the total. 38.5s we're seeing across. There's a 39, 38.5. So make sure you keep an eye on what the market is doing as we lead up to kickoff of Army-Navy coming up tomorrow. Speaking of the market, Fez, let's go to the NFL where we see a bad team. And what do we mean by bad team? I mean, the Carolina Panthers have 3 wins, okay? I actually don't consider them a bad team. Their record is bad, but I don't think they're that bad. They've covered 5 straight games, and you could argue, as I have, they're playing better as of late in these past couple of games. Look no further than the last 3 games that they lost after their bye, where they arguably could have won all 3 of those games. Now they're 2.5 to 3-point favorites over the Dallas Cowboys, who have more wins than them, who have a bigger name brand than them, who some would say are a better football team than the Carolina Panthers, yet the Panthers are favored. Is the market telling us the Panthers are the side?
No, the market is telling you the Panthers were the side. All right? So were.
Explain.
Because on the look-ahead line, the Panthers were +1.5. And then on the early week line, I give this out to my clients, Carolina -120.
Okay.
Readily available. What's changed since Sunday night, Monday morning? Nothing. Nothing has changed.
Well, maybe the injury. Well, actually, probably worse on Dallas with the injury news of DeMarvion Overshawn being out.
Yes.
So the news has gotten worse for Dallas. That's probably the only thing I can think of that has changed.
Sure. Fair enough. But the bottom line is that now, like I used to run betting syndicates. All right. I know I'm Fezzik, the old guy, you know, get off his lawn. was lousy in the VSiN invitation. I did got eliminated and largely true. But the bottom line is, I can tell you, if you submitted a ticket, you said, we got Carolina -3, Fez. I put that into our portfolio. You'd be fired. You would literally what am I paying you for? It's like the idea is you want to do your homework throughout the week, the betting cycle, get the best of it. We talk about Army Navy. I'm fine if you want to play over 37 a post. Fine. That's, but don't play over 39. But like with Carolina, you got to get a Carolina, certainly at less than 3. So if you get a Carolina and get a -2.5, lay $1.10 still. I would endorse that. Anything more, I think it's just become too expensive.
So, yeah. So you would say, or if you played it early, obviously, then you accept playing Carolina. You mentioned -120. Money lines up to now -150, even -155.
Would you play a baseball game? Would you play the Cincinnati Reds, -155, knowing you could have played -120 earlier in the betting cycle?
No, because I
rarely, right? Rarely.
Yeah, I'd feel terrible about that.
Yeah.
And I do it in hockey all the time sometimes. Like, I feel like I had the Devils last night at -155. I could have had it at -135.
Now, when something changes dramatically, okay, that's different. So if you had gotten the weather report, like it was going to pour cats and dogs in the second quarter, that's different. Well, then you could say, I'll play under 47.5, even though I could have played under 49, right? That's fine. You know, that's different.
And so looking at the market, there actually is still 2.5s out there that are available, slightly juiced, so -115. So you would say the line is like between 2.5 to 3.
Yeah, so 2.75, and so no secret, like I'm maniacal about these 3-point spreads, and a big reason is like I ran a syndicate betting parlay cards, and you can go back and ask the sportsbook directors, they'll all confirm it. Joe Lupo hates me, but like we loved the NFL 3, we loved it so much because even if it was a solid 3, if you could play +3.5, if you can play +3.5 to this day or -2.5, those are 55% bets, either one. Okay, so. Getting the best of a 3, especially if it moves to the other side of the 3, and you can get, like, if you can lay 2.5 in a game that's 3.15, or if you can get +3.5 in a game that's 2.85, what do I mean by 2.85? Like, I'd say this Carolina game right now, right around 2.75, right? Split 2.5 to 3 on the odds screen.
Makes sense. Another game that's kind of similar if we look at the odds board is the Green Bay-Seattle Sunday night game, where earlier in the week it was Seattle +3. Now it's down to 2.5 as we've seen money come in on the Seahawks, which has pushed Green Bay. I'm seeing here at Circa -2.5, -115 on Green Bay.
So the pros don't always agree on things. Okay. We have disagreement on games. So like early in the week, Right Angle Sports gave out the Packers -2.5. All right. And it went to 3. Now, on the look-ahead lines, I gave out Seattle plus three. I did. That was one of the my look ahead plays I gave here with Gilly last Friday. So I was disappointed that that number had disappeared. Thank you, Raz, for moving the number back to three. And I just think they're completely wrong. I could be wrong, but I like my power ratings. I have the Packers 2 points better than Seattle. So how, when the game is in the Pacific Northwest with the 12th man and a big home field, both these teams have big home fields, can Seattle possibly be catching a full field goal? It makes no sense. I mean, you can talk about situational matchups, whatever. It's just, it doesn't, even if they, if the Packers had it, Seattle's, from a power rating perspective, I make the game pick them, so I have to play plus three big.
Speaking of Seattle, you know, last night we saw the Rams beat the 49ers, which improved their odds to win the NFC West. They are in control of their own path, actually. All they got to do is just win out, and if they beat Seattle the final game of the season, they're going to be the NFC West champs. They have a much easier schedule. The next 2 weeks, they're going to be favored against the Jets. They're going to be favored against the Cardinals, and then the game against the Seahawks. The Seahawks, meanwhile, after this game against Green Bay, which they are 2.5-point dogs, they're going to have to face the Vikings. What would you set that line at right now based on what happens here on Sunday night? So if a win or a loss?
It probably doesn't matter unless it's a blowout. And it's a really easy line to set because the Packers and the Vikings are almost equal teams. So if my numbers make Seattle pick them, but the market says that Seattle should be a 2.5-point dog, I think the perception is Green Bay slightly better than Minnesota. So I mean, Minnesota has to be a small favorite of less than three.
I'm glad you said that. Because the look-ahead line right now up on DraftKings is Minnesota minus 2.5 at minus 110. Now, if we think Minnesota and Green Bay are even teams, and the line on Minnesota-Seattle is minus 2.5, if Green Bay becomes a 3-point favorite, inherently, isn't there value on the Seattle plus three?
Oh, of course. Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, this is a case where I never bet plus 2.5. And I'm arguing with people on Twitter and, you know, it's like, I get frustrated sometimes because I'll say things and like, I go back to like, go find 100 geeks from like, from the Ivy Leagues that bet sports for a living. It's not my opinion. They'll agree with me. All right.
Yeah.
And maybe they're all wrong. You know, maybe it's wrong to double a seven against a four, but probably it's right. Cause that's what every good, you know, author, you know, tells you to do, but asymmetric risk. If a line is 2.5, I don't bet plus 2.5. Even if I like the game, because there's been so many games, Scott, where I said there is no way this line could possibly go to Minnesota minus three. But as sure as the sun comes up tomorrow, I might be betting Seattle plus three, just based upon which way the wind blows at some point in this betting cycle.
Well, coming up next, I think I'm going to make Steve Fezzik proud, like a proud papa watching his child grow, or a proud teacher watching his student graduate, because I'm going to tell you why the Seahawks are one of my favorite teaser legs of the week. He's Steve Fezzik, 2-time Super Contest winner. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is A Numbers Game. We're in for Gil Alexander here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Don't just watch the college football playoffs this year. Get in on the action with the VSiN Road to Jansanity contest. Your football handicapping skills could win you $5,000, and the best part, it's absolutely free to enter. Your challenge: pick the games against the spread for every round. The contestant with the most points after the title game wins $5,000. Head over to vsin.com/jansanity for the contest rules and to register. Don't wait. The entry deadline is Thursday, December 19th. Visit vsin.com/jansanity and let the jansanity begin. Scott Seidenberg back here on A Numbers Game, in for Gil Alexander here alongside 2-time Super Contest winner Steve Fezzik, professional handicapper, professional bettor.
I'm a much better gambler than I am just like a pure handicapper.
Well, I don't know anybody better at the actual execution of the bets than Mr. Steve Fezzik. Speaking of the execution of bets, I teased out a teaser last segment, saying Seahawks plus 8.5 and maybe pairing them up with the Buffalo Bills going from 2.5 to 8.5. But at the current market, Fez, you would say, wait, on the Seahawks 6-point teaser. Now, again, I always say this on all of my shows. I said it yesterday. I'll repeat it again here for the audience. When we talk about 6-point teasers, we only want to do minus 120, the best price in the market, minus 120 on the 6-point teaser, and only to do the traditional Wong teasers going through the key numbers of 3 and 7. That being said, why is it smart to wait on pushing the Seahawks up from 2.5 to 8.5?
Because I'm not sure you're going to be going through the 3 and 7. I think likely you will. I think this game will close 2.25. What's Fezzik talking about with 2.25? That means the market will be 2s and 2.5s. But what if I'm wrong? What if, obviously, you heard support earlier in the week at VSiN about playing Green Bay. What if this line goes to 3? Or 2.75 even. So there's 2.5s and 3s, and you could bet a +3. Just mathematically, betting a +3 minus 110 lays over playing a teaser. Why? Because when you play a teaser on each leg, you're essentially playing +8.5 minus 280. Each leg, don't say, Fez, I'm not laying minus 280. I'm laying minus 120. I assure you, you're laying minus 280.
Yeah, if you parlay two minus 280s together, it's minus 120.
Exactly. Yeah. So you are indeed laying +8.5, lay minus 280, and that is an inferior bet than playing a +3, even laying minus 115. So you need to be cool. You need to wait and see where this line goes. And if you, you know what? If you see a 2 hit a sharp book, bingo, then go right ahead and fire in a teaser. You need a dance partner with it, though, right?
Well, I was thinking the Buffalo Bills going up from 2.5 to 8.5 against the Detroit Lions.
The only trepidation I have with it, and I like it, is the 54.5 total. So all things being equal, I like 37 totals, and I don't like 54 totals because there's inherently more variance. By the way, with all this teasers and basic strategy, Stanford Wong wrote a book, Sharp Sports Betting, and he has an entire chapter on what exactly a Wong teaser is, because this has gotten so misconstrued. People believe a 6.5-point favorite teasing them to a 0.5-point favorite is a Wong teaser. People believe an 8-point road favorite teasing them to -2 is a Wong teaser. It is not. Get Stanford Wong's book. I know Stanford well. And Don Pozitsky, by the way, wrote a book on Win More, Lose Less before Stanford did, and he talked about these teasers also.
One other teaser that I think would qualify is taking the Minnesota Vikings at 7.5 down to 1.5. At 7, I don't think I would include it in a teaser. At 7.5, I would.
Yeah, so then the Vikings were like 6.95 in the market. So you can even get a -7 even money. What's interesting with the Vikings, I like the Vikings, so I think the line's going to go higher.
Yeah.
So I'd be fine.
Especially because it's a Monday game.
Yes, and my power ratings make the game 8, and the Vikings were just laying 3.5 at Chicago, and they're up 11 late in the game. So if they're laying 3.5 at Chicago and the Vikings are surging and the Bears stink, clearly the Vikings -7 looks cheap even at that number. You don't even have to pay VIG. So I'm fine with the Vikings being included.
Let's talk about some of your best bets here for week number 15, Fez. You were on the Rams last night. Congratulations. Cash that one with
gave
them winning.
Gave it back with the Niners, played the money line back, so I wound up losing on the game. So, oh, so be it.
Now, why did you do that?
Because the Niners, I bumped their power rating 1.5 by after they outgained the Bears 300-4 in the first half.
But did the number get to a point where you felt that it was a buy point on the 49ers?
Yeah, so I upgraded the Niners 1.5 and the market downgraded them. Mm-hmm. From the look ahead, the Niners were, the line was Niners -3, and then the Niners were -2.5.
Yes.
Which didn't make any sense to me for that much of an adjustment.
So he found value once it went down. Once the line went down, he found value.
And then the wrong team
won
by 3.
Yes.
Which it frequently does.
Yes. You like a couple of plays here. Let's get into them for week 15. Let's start with the Cleveland Browns against the Kansas City Chiefs. Part of me is rooting for you just because I want to watch Jameis Winston have a post-game press conference after he wins, because he's the most entertaining guy to watch in sports right now.
Okay, let's be fair. I don't like the Browns at all +4 at the current number. So $80 fine. These are plays I gave out last week on Gilly's show, and that's why you got to tune in. We are going to have two plays, look ahead lines. So I gave out Cleveland +6 a week ago. So I'm taking a victory lap at closing line value and shows how, why am I able to get like such good CLV here when I'm playing these games a week ahead of time, CLV closing line value, because I'm playing checkers. I'm playing against the bookmakers line look ahead. I'm not playing against the world that has hammered all these lines into play. So just to summarize, last week I gave out the Rams +3. I also gave out the Browns +6, Eagles -4.5, Bucks +3. You can still bet that. So that's still bettable. Seattle +3. You probably are going to be able to find that. And long dunzo gone, I gave out the Bills Lions, Scott, over 51.5. That number's going, boys, and it ain't coming back.
At what point, though, we always talk about playing back. At what point would you play back on that game?
55. Sammy Hagar, I can't score 55.
But let's talk about some of these games, though. So you did like Cleveland at plus six. Obviously, you don't like it now at plus four. But just overall in that game, I mean, we're seeing Kansas City win these games but not cover at a historic rate. This is now, what, seven straight games that they have not covered against the spread.
And what a contrast. You watch those flaky Bengals at the end of the game. Woo, let's get in the end zone, right? Mm-hmm. As contrasted by Kansas City, let's gain 6 yards to Kelce, catch a pass on his knees.
And have our third string kicker kick a field goal.
And ricochet the art of the dump, like the color money. Make it look like you're trying to miss the field goal. Ricochet it off the goalpost. But Kansas City's very adept at that four-minute offense, doing just enough to win. So gun to my head, I would still look Browns, but nothing has changed really, and you're getting 2 points less.
Mm. Speaking of lines that have changed, what's your take on that Steelers game against the Eagles now? You like the Eagles. You gave it out at minus 4.5. We're looking at the market now, and we're seeing Philadelphia is laying there's 5.5s on the board here, Fez.
I hate to go against Tomlin as a dog. It's been so strong, and it makes sense. But I keep hearing the Eagles have internal problems, mm-hmm. and AJ Brown, if you're a wide receiver, just shut up and catch the ball, you know, stop crying for the ball, in the media. But I've been super high in the Eagles all year long. I got them in Baltimore as my best teams in the NFL. So my power ratings like Eagles.
Eagles right now, 5.5 in the Steelers. I'm on the Steelers, full disclosure. I love Pittsburgh in this spot. 5.5 just feels like too much in a game that I think is going under. I think this is a low-scoring game. You mentioned A.J. Brown, though, and it's very interesting because Kelly and I talked about this when we were previewing the 49ers game from last night. As we talk about the squeaky wheel getting the grease, right? Deebo Samuel talks. And by the way, Deebo, if you're going to complain about not getting the football, maybe you should try catching the football when it's thrown to you, because that could have been a touchdown that changed the entire game.
I'm not sure the Rams were the right side last night. You know, when having watched the game, boy, there was a couple spots. You know, certainly if it had kept raining,
yeah,
that would have, I think, benefited the Niners more. But that Deebo
drop. Catches that ball. He's running into the end zone for a touchdown.
And the Niners win.
And the Niners win that game. But you mentioned A.J. Brown. He's another guy who's been complaining. Would you look towards A.J. Brown props to think that maybe Jalen Hurts is going to look and target him early?
Well, in pre-production, we looked up the first drive, right? A.J. Brown to get a catch. You know, hey, all right, fine. Well, here you go. Throw him a quick slant and get him on the board so he's not on my back all game long if he's bagels in the first half, right?
See, that's the way I think. And the market right now, let's see. A.J. Brown to catch a pass on the Eagles' first offensive drive is minus 110. You got to think, and it doesn't always happen, but I know we had cashed this with the Malik Nabers with the Giants earlier in the season, and it just seems to always happen where these teams or these quarterbacks focus in on getting the guy the football just to say, hey, we heard you all week. Even with the 49ers, first drive, Deebo Samuel got a pass thrown at his way. You know, he didn't catch it, but they threw it at him. Second play of the game, they said, hey, Deebo, here you go. Dropped it, or it was incomplete. I think A.J. Brown, it's going to be the same thing. I think on the first Eagles possession, they give A.J. Brown one of those short screen passes. Just put the ball in his hands and say, here you go.
Or first quarter.
If you don't want to do that. He's Steve Fezzik, two-time Super Contest winner. I'm Scott Seidenberg. Coming up, we have best bets for week number 15. Plus, as I mentioned earlier in the program, I am playing in this World Poker Tour event representing VSiN for our friends over at Poker Now. And Fez is going to give me some advice when it comes to playing in a poker tournament. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
I think the question is, am I ready for this?
You know, it's funny. People are like, why is the sports better, you know, giving you poker advice? It's like, I assure all, I can address poker and blackjack issues. And Scott will tell you, I am like the world's worst guy to talk blackjack. You never want to play blackjack with me.
Best
oh, my
bets
goodness.
And more coming up next. Scott Seidenberg in for Gil. It's a numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Hey, stay tuned to VSiN because coming up after a numbers game, it's Money Moves at noon Eastern with Stormy Bonantoni and former NFL player Jeff Schwartz. Then make sure you stick around for Prop Points with John Hansen at 2 p.m., followed by Make It Rain with Adam Schein from 3 to 4. It's all coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Scott Seidenberg in for Gil here on A Numbers Game alongside Steve Fezzik, two-time Super Contest winner, and it's time to get to the best bets. And best bets are brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Fez, I know you have best bets. Obviously, you gave out some last week here for week 15. I'm curious about your week 16 bets. I'll go first with one of my best bets here for this upcoming slate of games, and I will start with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know I'm going up against you, so good luck to you. But you have 4.5, I have 5.5. Eagles win by 5, we'll take it, we'll both celebrate, okay?
That's a very slimmy middle, but okay.
But I think this game is going to be a low-scoring game because everything that the Eagles do well offensively, the Steelers are able to defend. Specifically, Jalen Hurts' ability to run the football. Jalen Hurts is scrambling at the highest rate in his career, and the Steelers have only allowed 9 scramble runs this year. That's 8 fewer than the next highest team. They defended Lamar well. They defended Jaden Daniels very well. Both those quarterbacks didn't have a single scramble in their games. I think Pittsburgh contains Jalen Hurts, so it'll be all about Saquon Barkley and whether or not he'll be effective here against the Steelers defense. And then when it comes to the Steelers offense, I think the Eagles actually can defend what they do best, which is the play-action game. I see this as being a very low-scoring game. What it comes down to for me, getting the points, Mike Tomlin as a dog. He's 5-0 ATS this season, but he's not just an underdog, Fez. He's an underdog with a good team. I looked up the history of 10-win teams playing against each other, double-digit win teams. Since 2012, the underdogs, you know, okay, do pretty well ATS, but in recent history, it's been that much better. 22-16 against the spread since 2021. So edge goes slightly to the dogs.
I'm old enough to remember, boy, the Broncos in their first 3 Super Bowls with Elway didn't get that memo, did they?
Also, in that game where the Giants are heavily underdogs against the Baltimore Ravens, I don't think they're going to be able to tackle Derrick Henry. I don't think they're going to be able to stop the run. I think Derrick Henry has a big day, and I'm going to look at his longest rush prop over 20.5. He's gone over this 10 of 13 games this year, and now he faces one of the worst rush defenses in the entire NFL, a team that allows the second most yards after missed tackles and one of the highest explosive run rates against in the NFL, the New York Giants. So give me Derrick Henry, longest rush over 20.5. And to go along with that theme, Justice Hill, the backup running back for the Ravens, I'll take his over 14.5 rushing yards because I think in the second half, specifically in the fourth quarter, when the Ravens are up big and Derrick Henry's already rushed for 250 yards and 4 touchdowns, they'll just put the backup in.
Bold statement. Justice Hill will have a longest rush over 20.5.
Oh, I like that, Fez. I like that
a lot. That's a ladder, layer, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, repeating bets that I did give out earlier in the program. I am on the Carolina Panthers against the Dallas Cowboys. We played that whole what-if game. If you look at the last 3 games, if Carolina had won those 3 games, this line is easily 3. Maybe even 3.5 when you consider the Cowboys' injury status. So I think the Panthers certainly have to be upgraded. -2.5, a great number to play on them that is available widely in the market. And then I'll take the under 54.5 in that Bills-Lions game. That number's just too stupid to me.
Now, real important, as far as optimal betting. So let's say you agree with that under and the Bills-Lions, which I do. And the whole world has 54.5.
Oh, we're waiting till we get the 55.
We'd be cool. Yeah, we'd be cool. Yeah,
Be cool.
Never, ever, if you look at the, like this is what people do. I'm going to shop for the best number, and I'm going to go bet it right now. Well, if the best number is the same at every single book in the world, and you have all these outs, just wait. Depending on which way the wind blows, someone's probably going to go to 55.
And then that's the case. So obviously I'm giving out what's available right now, but the advice would be to wait because this line should go up, and then we can just bet the under 55.
And it doesn't have to go up. It just has to pop up at
one book.
It has to
pop up somewhere.
Yes.
Just keep your apps open and keep an eye on that. Let's take a look at Kelly Bidlin's best bets. He's got A.J. Brown over 75.5 receiving yards. We kind of talked about that last segment with the squeaky wheel getting the grease. Buccaneers at +3. Bills and Lions, he's on the over. Gave that earlier at 52.5. Obviously, we've seen that go up. Lions at 2.5. Broncos -4.5. And Packers money line for Kelly Bidlin there on the best bets. Fez, let's get to your best bets, not for this week in the NFL, But for week 16 coming up next week, what are we like?
And just putting a bow on week 15, I agree with Kelly's play. I already gave this out. Bucks plus +3. That's still widely available. Boom. Chargers are missing their best running back, their best tight end, and their best wide receiver. The lad is injured. By the way, if you love all this prop talk, Prop Points with John Hansen is a tremendous show.
Oh, yeah.
That is the one show that I personally listen to other than Gilly's show. Sorry, Gilly. Each and every week. So definitely, I'm going to listen to it. Check out John and the fine work that he does.
Can't wait to hear, I mean, about how everybody got messed up with last night's game. You know, with everybody going unders. Well, Puka went over. George Kittle went over, which we hit. And our boy Colby Parkinson went over.
The Garendo, I mispronounced that.
Garendo.
Garendo wound up going over, which is
shocking. Cooper Kupp did not, though. So if you play, if you had
did he
Cooper
play Kupp, last night? I didn't see him.
If you had Cooper Kupp in fantasy in your week one of the playoffs, I feel sorry for you. But Fez, let's get to your week 16 best bets. What are we looking ahead to?
Go to the Queen City, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Battle of Ohio. Over 49. I checked the weather. It's going to be cold, but it should be fine. Hey, the Bengals finally play an under game. That's because Cooper Rush was the quarterback. We got Jameis Winston. He'll throw 4 touchdown passes. Who he throws them to, we will see.
We're going
to
split them 2-2.
We'll go over 49.
And what else? You say Eagles Commanders, I see you're looking at for next week.
Yeah, so you made the case the Eagles are an under team. Mm-hmm.
Best defense in the NFL since the bye.
Yes. And so, you know, Washington, Philly, I see quite a bit of running on both sides. I'm going to go under the 48.
Surprised that line right now is Eagles minus -3 in Washington?
No.
No.
Okay. Power rating wise, I got the Eagles 7 points better than the average team. Washington 2 points better. That makes it 5 on a neutral. That actually makes the Eagles a 3.5 point favorite.
What happens to this line if the Steelers beat the Eagles?
Not much. Week 3 and 4, there can be radical changes, but this late in the year, I think we know how good both these teams are. I don't think it really matters much.
Okay. That'll do it for the actually, we have to get to Paul Carr's best bets, who gave us the Premier League plays. I love the way that you have to pronounce it properly. It's not Premier League. It's Premier League.
Got it.
Fez, Premier League. He likes Arsenal win to nil. That means they have to win in a shutout. Minus -120 versus Everton. On Sunday, Man City, Man United to play to a draw. That's at plus +360. He also gave out a bonus bet on that game if you want to do the double chance, which is Man United to win or have a draw. That was still at plus money as well. And then on Monday, Bournemouth money line over West Ham at minus -135. Paul Carr been on an absolute heater here with Gil. So those are his best bets. And best bets, as I mentioned, brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. VSiN recommends every bettor make the GBank Visa Signature Card part of their betting toolbox. Save up to 3-5% on cash advance fees, earn cashback rewards on eligible betting transactions, and now for a limited time, you'll get a $250 bonus when you open your account and spend $1,000 in the first 90 days. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. Take advantage of the $250 bonus for a limited time from our friends at GBank, the official bank of VSiN, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. If you've been watching this show, you see me wearing the little VSiN polo.
Billboard,
yes. I'm going to be representing VSiN, courtesy of our friends over at Poker Now, in the World Poker Tour $5 million free roll.
Don't screw it up.
At the Wynn, coming up a little bit later on this morning. Actually, the cards will be dealt in about an hour from now. So I got to head over there and get my checks, as they say. That's the poker lingo for chips. Fez, give me your advice.
Don't get stacked with one pair. If you've got aces and you raise, you get a caller, and the flop comes queen 8-3, and all the money winds up going in, you lose. Thank you. Have a good day. So, like, pot control, don't bet the turn. Bet after the flop, see bet it, check the turn. So, pot control. Stop falling in love with crap. King jack, queen, king queen, ace jack. Somebody raises an early position, throw that trash away. That is not how you're going to make money.
Now, one of my fears is that I'm going to get blinded out. Okay. And I'm going to, you know, maybe I catch a cold run of cards or I'm just playing way too tight. And I get to a point later on in the afternoon where I'm sitting here going, I only have like 7 big blinds left.
Well, you're already blinded out.
I'm already blinded out at that point.
You've already screwed up at that point.
So at what point do you have to start being aggressive trying to make blind stealing moves?
If you go back-to-back orbits and you haven't played a hand, which could easily happen.
Sure, yeah, of course.
Boom, and a guy raises. We talk about this pre-production. So now everyone knows you're just a tidy, all right? You don't play anything but premium hands. So you pick up 8-10 of diamonds on the button, and the guy before you raises, and he's a maniac, and he's playing all these hands. Don't call. Re-raise him. Put the pressure on him. You're only doing it with queens, kings, or aces because you're a tidy whitey guy.
That's a solid point. He's Steve Fezzik. Check him out at Fezzik Sports. Two-time Super Contest winner. I'm Scott Seidenberg. Follow me on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. I'll be updating my status throughout the day, so hopefully there'll be multiple updates and not just one update in about an hour from now.
Don't
saying
call.
That I'm eliminated.
Fold or raise. Do not call.
My thanks to Kelly Bidlin. This has been A Numbers Game. Stormy and Jeff Schwartz coming up next on Money Moves right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.